Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. You have your host, James, behind the mic. I'm joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Habhacker.
Good morning, everyone.
And the best listeners in radio with us. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Let's kick things off the way we like to with our friend, Brittany Merlot, talking a little Mother Nature. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning. Got some sunshine out there this morning?
No.
Unfortunately not. How about over by you? Do you got some?
I've got some making its way through the wildfire smoke, so it's like that hazy sunshine here in Wausau.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good. Well, yeah.
At least someone's got some.
Yes, yeah. Something. We're right now, we'll take it. We'll take it right now, yeah.
Maybe you'll get some spots of it, but probably not, right? We've got those showers and storms lifting in from the south and the west. Those chances really become more prominent as we go through this afternoon and into the evening. The good news is we're not looking at any strong to severe ones, so this is just going to bring some moderate rainfall with it. Of course, dampening this evening may linger tomorrow, too, into the morning. Then we get a little break. More start to spark up in the afternoon, and those continue through to Friday night as well. So it's going to drop our temperatures. Today's highs will be in the mid-70s. Tomorrow we'll hit about 70, and then we'll go back to the mid-70s as we go into the weekend. But it stays unsettled. Still chances for showers and storms all weekend long. Now, there won't be drenching us. It's not going to soak out our entire weekend, but the chances are still there. So enjoy the comfortable temperatures because the heat and the humidity do move in early next week.
Mm-hmm. Right. Summertime.
Summertime, something to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. Brittany, we're a little bit later, Seth and I are going over the, they ranked the fast food best fries, ranking of the fast food fries. Do you have a favorite? Do you have one that stands out to you?
Oh, that one is tough. Fast food fries.
I ask the tough questions, Brittany. I am a hardcore journalist.
Okay, I'm going then with Arby's curly fries.
Oh, good choice. Oh, you just made my dad
a little really unexpected.
Happy.
Yeah, nice.
My dad's jam. He loves those. Yeah, that's a good one. Good choice.
All right.
Those are, yeah.
We will hang out tomorrow. We'll get people ready for the weekend. We appreciate you, Brittany. Have a great day.
You too, thanks.
Best in the business right there, Brittany Merlot, joining us every morning. We're pretty sure to appreciate her. And yes, Seth and I will get into that a little bit later. Speaking of good food, we'll be talking about Ale Cafe, birthday and anniversary club as well.
Fantastic.
Got that coming up. And how many of us can navigate without GPS?
Oh, no.
That's going to be a generational thing, I feel like.
Ooh. It is sheepish. I'm going to be sheepish on that one.
It's a Thursday, so you know we're going to kick off the 10 o'clock hour with Denise and our friends from the Southwick County Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to finding out who our newest pet of the week is and the newest animal I want to take home. We will figure that out together. We also want a big Milltown Coffee. Big time shout out to Milltown Coffee Shop. Head on over there and check them out, everybody. Yep. And otherwise, I will have some other entertainment news for you. Had a legend pass away. I want to talk with Seth about Brian Wilson a little bit. Got some information also about Father's Day prep we're doing. The best movies to watch with your dad. Got that one.
Okay.
And then a little bit later, we'll talk about our newsletter premiering today, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And are these the best dads in movie history? Seth and I will debate. We want audience participation.
Interesting, the criteria on that one.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be interesting. All right. Yeah, we got all that coming up for you. We're going to talk a little more, you know, Father's Day, get you ready for that this weekend. And Bluegrass at the Lake, we've got that to talk about as well.
So much going on.
Yeah. Tomorrow, Terry Johns will be sitting in with us from the United Way, and I'll talk a little bit more with her about this then. But I did want to just kick off the show. A big thank you to the United Way and to all the people that showed up yesterday for the Great Book Giveaway.
Yeah.
Got to get the chance to be a part of that. I think fourth year in a row I've gotten to do that over at our local zoo here in town.
That's very cool.
Go on over there. And I just want to send a shout out to the people, of course, from the United Way there working so hard. They do a great job. They went recruiting, actually. Went and brought some more kids over. It was really good. Nice work.
Nice.
Really nice work. And, of course, the families and the kids were great. They always are. But I want to send a special shout-out to Kitty, or Miss Kitty, who has been doing this for a long time. Mm-hmm. And a wonderfully sweet human being. And just wonderful to see her again. I was just happy to see her. Shout-out to her. I appreciate her taking the time to do this. And she let me sneak ahead of her. Because I had an appointment to get to and everything, and she let me get ahead of her, and that was really nice of her. I appreciate Miss Kitty, and appreciate everybody that donated books and that is a part of this mm-hmm. great event. You got more opportunities coming up, everybody. Today, they're going to be at the Ed Huer Elementary in Port Edwards at 10:30.
Okay.
And then on Friday, Adams County Library in Adams at 10:30. On Friday as well, they'll be at the Leicester Public Library of Rome at 1:30. I love that library.
Yes.
Monday, be back over at the YMCA here in town in Rapids at 10:30.
Very cool. That's a new place. Yeah.
And everything wraps up next Tuesday on the 17th at the Leicester Public Library of Vesper at 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the cool things that they do with this event is rain or shine, they will have this event. They've got backups in mind.
Always.
Find out more and about other great things going on with our United Way, uwswac.org. Seth, speaking of Father's Day and stuff.
Okay.
I want to ask you in the audience something here. I got a two-parter. So a New York man may have earned a Guinness World Record by playing golf for 36 consecutive hours.
Wow.
Kelechi Elzi, a Long Island man who is originally from Nigeria, hit the links at Huntington Crest Club at 6 p.m. Sunday with the intention of playing the game for 24 hours. The minimum goal set by Guinness World Records is to originate the title for the longest marathon playing golf.
Okay, all right.
Ezekiel's plans abruptly changed halfway through his attempt when he was told a Norwegian man had just completed an attempt that went for 32 hours. What are the odds? What are the odds?
Well,
of that
happening at the same time, yeah.
So he extended his own attempt and ended up finishing after 36 hours of golf on Tuesday.
Wow.
Evidence from his attempt and now must be reviewed by Guinness World Records, but it looks like this is a go.
Wow.
The
one, that poor Norwegian guy had the record for like, what, a day?
Yeah. Aziz said his goal is to expand the reach of golf, especially mm-hmm. to young people in Nigeria, where he brought the land. He bought the land and plans to build a course there. So he's bought some land over there. He's going to build a golf course in Nigeria.
Wow.
And a lot of this is to bring attention to that.
Right, right.
Quote, people assume that golf is for the wealthy, and I'm trying to change that. The goal is to let people know that golf is a game for everybody. Mm-hmm. Whether your economic background or somebody with special needs, you can play the game of golf.
Right, right.
So and that's, really cool meaning behind that.
That's amazing. And how did Randy Paul change his name so quickly in order to do... No, I'm just kidding.
You thought the same thing I did. Like, this is Randy. I don't care.
Yeah, it's Randy,
this
right?
Randy
yeah.
Paul. That's Randy Paul. two quick questions here. One, actually, just a quick side note. I really do love what he was saying there about golf and the wealthy and all that stuff.
Right.
That is something that a lot of people, especially being blunt about it, ethnic people, thought for a long time. Look at the Masters and the history of the country.
Look at the PGA right now.
Yeah.
It's pretty white. Yeah.
I'm not saying anything that, you know, far-fetched or crazy right. or anything like that. But obviously that has changed. Mm-hmm. Before Tiger Woods, Vijay Singh, and so many other great golfers.
It's an international game for sure.
And certainly a lot of the Spanish influence there mm-hmm. has changed a lot of that. But I think of hockey a lot with this, where hockey for a long time was a richer sport. In order to play the sport, you didn't have to be rich necessarily, but you had to afford a lot of equipment to be able to play hockey.
Yeah.
So guys like my dad, who just loved hockey, he started late at it mm-hmm. because they just couldn't afford the equipment.
Right.
I love the intent of this and everything. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I could not imagine. Now, I am not a golfer.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine doing something like this, man. I could 36 hours of the sport.
36 hours of anything.
There's my question. Is there a sport you could play for 36 hours? Ask everybody out there. Is there a sport you think you could beat the Guinness record of? Pickleball, tic-tac-toe, I don't know. Is there anything you could... I'm not sure if there's anything I can think... Okay, there's one thing I can think of. I don't know. There's a sport I could 36 hours.
Man,
I don't
doing
know.
Anything for 36 hours straight.
It's a lot.
You could. I defy someone to watch television for 36 hours straight.
Right.
Seriously, that's amazing.
And it also, Seth, I think it gave me the mischievous and wonderful idea of the Guinness record that I would like to break.
Oh, are we finally getting there? We're getting close.
What is the Guinness record? I'm not going to look it up while I'm on the air here talking.
Right.
But what is the Guinness record for most amount of time live on the air?
Ooh. Oh, I know there is one. I know there. In fact, I think, what was it last year? Someone set a new record for that? I think. I remember us talking about it.
When it happened and when we talked about it, I don't remember thinking this, but I read this a story this morning, or late last night, I mean. And it was technically morning. And it got me thinking about that. And to that point, I didn't mean to do that, but piggybacking from that, mm-hmm. I'm nocturnal. I'm awake right. anyway.
Right.
Why not break a Guinness record? And you know, bring some attention or some awareness.
Exactly,
to,
yeah.
You know, we've got a lot of great nonprofits. We've got right. a lot of great causes in this area that we all believe mm-hmm. in. I think it's a winning combination. I think we might okay. be able to do something like that. And
do a little research here on during the break when we get there. Yeah.
Here's the thing. That. We've got a station manager and an owner of the company that are both just as crazy as we are. Just as wonderfully weird and crazy as we are.
Gotta be.
And I say that with all the love and respect I possibly
that's right.
can. I love my job. But yeah, I don't think that they'd be against this necessarily. I'm really starting to chew on this one, man. And I will admit to everybody, I need sleep.
Yeah, that's right.
That is definitely
yeah.
part of where this idea is coming from. But it's something I'm kind of into now. And now that I got my head on, I'm one of those people, like a lot of people out there, mm-hmm. where when you get your mindset on something, and there's no second place, there's no third, you've got to achieve this. I'm getting there with this now.
Yep, okay.
Where I just want to do that.
And, all right.
And we understand... Oh, do you have something?
No, not yet.
Okay, okay.
I'll have something later, though.
We understand that there's a lot of people out there that are like a lot like that when it comes to winning. And so we're going to have more on the Civic Media Scani Summer Text to Win contest word. We'll tell you when to be listening for that and everything. So we know you guys how you guys feel about those mm-hmm. things, you know, the winning part of this.
Yep.
Now, then there's this story, Seth. And I don't know if this is winning, if this is breaking a record, or if this is just proving something. And I will admit to the audience, part of what caught my eye on this story is it involves a Swiss man, and I'm co-hosting this show with somebody of Swiss origin. A Swiss man put his cold endurance to the test and broke a Guinness World Record by spending more than 2 hours buried in the snow while wearing only his swimming trunks. Ellis Mayer, a competitive powerlifter, said he decided to take on the title for the longest time spent in direct full-body contact with snow, after discovering no one had yet cracked the two-hour mark.
Okay.
So this guy saw that and was like, ha! 2 hours. The previous record set by a Polish man, Warhi Romanowski, in 2022, stood at 1 hour, 45 minutes, and 2 seconds.
Okay.
Meyer, wearing only the swimsuit, was buried under a mound of snow for 2 hours and 7 seconds.
There you go.
He said the cold bothered him less than the weight of the snow pressing down on him.
Okay.
Interesting.
That would be a lot. Yeah, okay.
It was the snow on his shoulders, he said, that was the hardest part.
Oh.
The athlete said he wanted to demonstrate that the body is capable of incredible things.
It is. And human beings are capable of coming up with insane things.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Dude, you have the Swiss people a bad name by sitting in the snow. What are you doing, man?
I gave an example just now of a record that I think would be fun and I would like to try to break and all that. And now I'm giving you an example of a record that I will never come anywhere
near.
Nowhere near. Nowhere.
Nowhere. Right. I mean, there's just no. There's why. There's so many records you could break. Why would you? I guess the lure of the record, I guess.
I mentioned causes, and I've mm-hmm. talked about my own many times, and I've gotten on a soapbox a billion times on these airwaves, and I appreciate everybody putting up with me. And it's something that my mother, you know, had in me, mm-hmm. instilled in me and her, my brother and sister and stuff. And there's certain things that I would fight for, and there's certain things that I believe I would die for when it comes to it. I ain't doing this, though. I ain't doing that.
If you died doing that, you'd be very upset. I would be very upset with myself if I did that. Yeah.
I will do, like, if there is a nonprofit, there is a cause out there, I will fight for you. I will back you. I will not do this, though.
Nope.
You are on your own. You're going to have to come up with something new. And that's not happening. I can't do it. I don't think I'd last. I don't know. I'm trying to think how long I would last. And I'm thinking maybe 10 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, maybe. I don't know. I'm just not built for that.
No.
I'm as Midwest as it gets, and I just wasn't built for something like that.
No, don't.
I almost feel like you too, like doing something like don't you like your body? Are you just mad at your body?
It's like, yeah, it was worth losing those 4 fingers for doing this, you know? Well, breaking that record.
And I'm sorry if it sounds bad, but for a guy to do it, that seems extra bad. That seems extra worth. We will take a break. Come back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club Morning Show, WFHR. You heard the boys. It's time to get to celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Treat yourself again out over there. Check out some of those great specials they have. The homemade pies. Seth, have you tried a number of these yet?
I have not. Okay. The reason is, and I will give this reason, I should get the pie first because every time I go there, I eat the food and then I'm full. And I don't want to have it even, right, you know, and I'm not going to, you know, overdo it with a pie, even as much as I love pie. Mm. I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to feel overstuffed or anything like that. So I need to do it the other way around. See, I got to get the pie first and then do the meal, and then that'll be good.
They it's a cool thing to bring up, actually, because they do a really nice job of making sure that you get great portions.
Yes.
I don't know about anybody else. Not something that, you know, I think about that often, but mm-hmm. it is nice when you see it. It is.
You're not leaving hungry, I'll say that much.
No, you're going to enjoy yourself. You're going to be treated by some great people mm-hmm. over there. Encourage you to head on over to El Cafe today. Check out some of these amazing menus. New items that they have and that wonderful food cast crew that they mm-hmm. have over there.
Yeah.
I am a little distracted. I was looking at the...
he was looking at the pie list.
Yeah, Brownie Delight sounds pretty good.
Oh, too. Interesting. Okay.
We should probably, you know, as friends, you know, we all are, El Cafe and us and everything, mm-hmm. we should probably warn them. We are, Melissa and I were talking after the show yesterday. We really want to set up another team meeting mm-hmm. and we're going to do it over there.
Excellent.
So somebody should warn them. Somebody, we're a bunch of radio people going to be showing
We're coming.
Up. Yeah. We appreciate you guys over at El Cafe. Have a good morning over there.
Mm-hmm.
And keep getting us those birthdays and anniversaries, everybody.
Yes, indeed.
Love celebrating with you. You can email us info@WFHR.com. You can direct message us on our Facebook pages. And, of course, you can call on up.
Right now, 715-424-2600. Shout out your birthday or anniversary on the airwaves. We'd love to hear from you.
We need a one or a two from you, Seth.
Let's do one today. Throw the fastball.
Yeah, I like it. First up, wishing a happy birthday to John Gates.
Happy birthday, John.
Enjoy the day, sir. Hope it's a good one for you.
Indeed.
And our qualifier, and she can qualify now, Marilyn Siegler.
Oh, congratulations, Marilyn.
Name might sound familiar to our longtime listeners out there. That is our Jeff Siegler's wife.
Yeah, that's right. Longtime employee at WFHR.
Yeah. Jeff's great. Jeff is great. Jeff's wonderful to work with. Was wonderful to work with and all those things. And all that pales in comparison to Marilyn. She is awesome. She is wonderful. And wishing her a great day. Mm-hmm. Enjoy your day. And that's something. That is a line Jeff would want me to say. I feel confident about
Very
that.
Very good.
Happy birthday to you, Marilyn. Enjoy mm-hmm. your day. You're our qualifier. Let's take a look at who you share your birthday with. Abby Lee is 38, Australian model, has done a bit of acting. She was in The Dark Tower, was the Dag in Mad Max Fury Road. Did a nice job in that.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Let's see here. Dave Franco is 40. Wow, I don't know why that made me feel old. Younger and, just my opinion, way more talented than his older brother, James Franco.
Mm-hmm.
He was in 21 Jump Street a little bit, and he's been done it. Then Now You Can See Me movies.
Mm. Okay.
He's had a pretty steady mm-hmm. career mm-hmm. and just finds work and is willing to do whatever it takes for a role.
Yep.
Like, as far as comedically and all these things, doesn't have that hang up like his brother, I feel like, of always trying to look cool. And always worrying about that. It feels like. Well, I don't know James Franco, but it for sure came across as an actor that way.
Yeah.
Where Dave just, I don't know him. I don't know how he is. I've seen him in interviews. He always seems like he's happy to be there, whatever he's doing.
Right.
And very just like big, just a big giver of.
Also doesn't have all the baggage that his brother does coming into it, too. Yeah.
That part definitely helps. Chris Young is 40, country singer.
Yes, Yes.
Shares his birthday with another great singer. Singer and songwriter and blues master Kenny Wayne Shepherd is 48.
Wow.
48.
He's your age, man.
Wow. Wouldn't have expected that. Don't look it. He looks a lot younger than I do, and times have been a lot better to him. Great blues player. Mm-hmm. Wonderful guitar player. I'm a big fan of Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Mewes is 51. One half of one of the greatest pairings in comedic history, Jay and Silent Bob. I will die on that hill. Jason Mewes' story is one of my favorites in entertainment. Just a wild, weird story. But,
He's kind of a wild, weird guy, actually. He's a little eccentric, to be sure.
The relationship with him and Kevin Smith, mm-hmm. the friendship between those two is beautiful. It's awesome. And to see the way Kevin Smith has backed him and helped him,
mm-hmm.
It's the true definition of friendship.
Yep.
You know, when they talk about celebrity friends and stuff like that, these two were friends long before they became celebrities and all that. Francis O'Connor is 58. Great actor.
Mm-hmm.
Great actor. One of my favorites. Scott Thompson is 66. Kids in the Hall star.
Yes, indeed.
Also played Hank's assistant on the Larry Sanders Show.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
It was here. Otherwise, I'd have forgotten about it. Oh, man. I'm a big fan of Scott Thompson and a game changer.
Yes.
Trailblazer, game changer. The whole Kids in the Hall sketch show really was, but Scott was at the forefront of a lot of that. Yeah. And as Seth and I were just, oddly enough, talking about this morning, if it wasn't for SNL and Second City and stuff, Kids in the Hall, that might be the one. I love that show. Meredith Brooks is 67. I can't technically say the title of her big hit.
Her big hit. Yes, yes. It was...
her big hit, Female Dog.
Yeah.
If you were using it in that context, you could probably say it.
But yes, we'll be cool with it. But yes, that was again. And the controversy when it was a big hit. Yes,
good singer songwriter.
Very good though. Yes,
I believe she wrote that. Yeah,
yes, she did.
The great Bun E. Carlos is 75. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Cheap Tricks, glasses wearing, wonderful, just drummer sitting in the back. I mentioned before. I think it was the Marshfield State Fair that Cheap Trick did or whatever, and back in the classic rock days, Panama, that's his favorite band in the universe.
Wow.
And he gives me the chance to introduce them and everything. And he threw it at me at the last second, too. And I was just tongue-tied. And then I'm walking up those steps, and the first thing I see is this band that I've heard my whole life. My father loves Cheap Trick and everything. And I see those guys, and I was a little nervous. But then I look at Bun, and he's just sitting there, man, and just calm, cool, collected, ready to go. He got a cigarette in his mouth. And I was like, all right. Yeah, I felt good.
Did he always have a cigarette in
pretty
his
much,
mouth when he was
pretty
playing?
Much, no.
I seem to remember seeing a lot of pictures of that video. Yeah.
Nice guy. Very nice man and a very good drummer.
You know, I got to say, if you watch some of their videos from the early 80s and stuff, they were all characters. All four guys.
Yeah.
They had personality, and I love that about them.
And I will always thank Panama for giving me that opportunity.
That's awesome.
I really do appreciate it. He was also a part of Tinted Windows, the most random supergroup maybe ever. His bandmates were Taylor Hanson from Smashing Pumpkins, or Smashing Pumpkins guitarist James Aha,
okay.
And Fountain of Wayne bassist Adam Schlesinger.
Oh, Schlesinger? Yes.
Schlesinger. So
wow, that is a very,
very interesting man. Marv Albert is 84.
Oh, the great Marv Albert.
Wow. Wow.
That voice. You know, it's funny that I don't know, James, if you're with me on this one or not. I was associating him with basketball.
Yes.
The NBA on
absolutely.
NBC, right?
100%.
He was their number one guy for basketball. You forget, though, man. He did football. He did everything. He did baseball. I mean, early in his career, man, like a lot of guys back then, he did everything. So,
people no longer with us. Former President George Bush Sr., born in this day in 1924.
Wow.
Also, Jim Nabors, born in this day in 1930. Gomer Pyle.
Also, an operatically trained singer. He had a fantastic voice.
That's really something.
Yes.
I don't know. I think I only knew that because you might have brought it up the
did
last
I didn't mention last time we did this? Yeah.
But either way, that should be known more. That should be like everybody should have to mention that when they're talking about Jim Nabors.
Yes.
Anne Frank was born in this day in 1929. Jewish teenager who hid from the Nazis in a secret apartment behind her father's business in Germany-occupied Amsterdam. After 2 years, the Franks were discovered and sent to a concentration camp in Northern Germany. Anne Frank died sometime in March of 1945 from typhus, only a few weeks before British soldiers liberated the concentration camp where she was a prisoner. As a child, this story wasn't just important to me and my family, obviously being Jews, but I would hope even beyond that. Just a beautiful, wonderful, and tragic
story.
It's
a human story is what it is, for sure.
I maintain that Anne Frank's story is maybe the most human story that there is. And I think if you strip away certain feelings or emotions, I think you'll see exactly what I'm talking about.
Right.
And I think one of the more beautiful lives lived was Anne Frank's. In spite of everything, I still believe that people are good at heart.
Right.
Her quote was a game changer for me. And just her life was. Just a wonderful soul.
As brief as it was. Yep.
Everybody celebrating the birthday or anniversary out there, we wish you a great one. Enjoy your day, everybody.
Yes.
We'll take a quick time out, get to our news, sports, and entertainment break. We'll come back, and we're talking fast food fries. Who's got the best? We want to hear from you. It's coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. We hope you have a good one out there. Let's talk fries, everybody.
Yum.
A restaurant supply company analyzed more than 40,000 Yelp reviews. And wow. That mentioned fries across 21 major fast food chains.
Okay.
And before we get into it, let's just say they might have maybe mucked this up. Who knows? it is interesting. It is an interesting list in part because of what's missing, really.
Okay.
So just looking at this list, and again, we want to hear from everybody out there, your favorite local fries, your favorite fries, what have you, all the above.
Mm-hmm.
In-N-Out Burger came in at number one.
Wow. Man, I wish we had some of those here.
Yeah, they're really good.
That's what I've heard. Nothing but good stuff about them.
Same thing with Shake Shack. Also heard good things. I haven't had Shake Shack plenty of times.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Freddy's Frozen Custard and Steak Burgers at number three.
What?
Bojangles at four. Okay. Chick-fil-A at five. Raising Cane's at six. Something called Zaxby's.
Zaxby's is a chicken place. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've seen a few of those around. Yeah.
Okay. Arby's. Shout out to Brittany.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Hardee's at number nine. And at number 10, Checkers.
Okay.
Now, there are great fries on this list. I got to say, Checkers fries are really amazing.
They really are.
They're underrated. They're really good.
I am disappointed in Checkers fries.
Oh, yeah.
I have to say, I'm not that keen on them.
I like them. I like them. Now, if you're noticing any places missing from that list, you're not alone. Here are the five worst fries: KFC, McDonald's, Burger King, Church's Chicken, and Popeyes.
Okay.
And so the people online are just freaking out because McDonald's is oftentimes, and we've done this thing a couple of times over the years,
right. Mm-hmm.
And McDonald's is, if not number one, they're usually number two. Like, it's no lower
than
two.
Seriously, yeah, they're considered some of the best, right? Yeah.
So they're trying to figure out how this is possible. Maybe McDonald's has set the bar so high for itself that people are more likely to complain on Yelp, because this is coming from Yelp reviews.
That's true. That's very true. Hmm.
And can we all, here's something that I think, you know, I love gentlemen's agreements. I love these things that we don't need the government to tell us to do something or whatever. We just as a society are like, yeah, we're going to do this.
Okay.
And we're going to shame anybody who doesn't. You know, holding the door open for somebody. You know, holding the elevator doors.
Right.
Things like this and everything. I feel like that's something we could all do. Can we all agree that I have no problem with leaving a negative review?
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to go somewhere else and leave a positive review.
Oh, okay.
Just do both.
So let's balance it out a little bit.
It's
here.
So darn easy to complain. It's so darn easy. And we're in a time and age where people have a megaphone, whatever we're talking about, whether it's Yelp or it is any other kind of
social media. Yeah.
If you want to bark, you can get heard now, man.
Yeah.
Easier than it's ever been in history of human beings.
And you don't even have to take responsibility for it. You can just say whatever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, no one knows who you are.
Got a billion keyboard cowards out there that are so quick to do that. And I have no problem with people, venting or getting out frustrations or any of these things, because that is... we're in America. Freedom of speech. But I do think that freedom of speech isn't free. It comes with a responsibility.
Yep, you got to work at it. Yep.
I think that we should be just as much inclined as a society to leave positive reviews as negative ones.
Right.
People are so quick to do that. I think we should all agree, hey, you're going to leave a negative one, that's fine. But then somewhere you had a positive experience,
right,
go out of your way to leave a positive review, because there aren't a lot of them. Not a lot of businesses get that, especially local businesses. Anytime you're able to leave a positive review, and I say this only if you had a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying lying, but if you had a good experience, take 5 seconds and leave a positive review. Because you have no problem leaving, taking 10, 20, maybe even a half an hour out of your day to write a post about how...
Yeah, right. Well, the other thing I would want people to do is, if something is bad, something happens at a place, doesn't matter where it is, a restaurant, a store... Did you give the people a chance to rectify the problem?
Yeah.
Before you went out and started saying how bad they were?
Yeah.
And if you didn't, why?
Mm.
That's my question to you.
Yeah.
Why didn't you do that? That doesn't make any sense to me. You give them a chance to make it better, right? That's what you want. You want it to. You went in there for a certain purpose. Let them do their job. If they messed it up, fine. Give them another chance, and maybe they can make it right for you.
I think if there's one thing that I'm getting more and more frustrated with, and I do admit that I'm getting older, And this is part of it. Yeah. But I think it's the one thing that I'm really old man yelling at Cloud about, it's people talking loud and saying nothing. It's just barking for the sake of barking, or just wanting to just complain.
Right.
And that's fine, but you got to. But where's your solutions? Where's your the other end of that? And I mean, have a leg to stand on with it too, or something. Right.
And to be fair, too, there are people out there that are doing this, what you're talking about, you know, just barking, but they're also getting paid to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of trolls out there that are actually getting paid to do that sort of thing, which makes, I mean, that adds a whole nother layer of ickiness to me about it. So it's, which is,
Well, you know, it's one of those things where we're having to get better and better at seeing through this stuff as a society.
Yeah.
Like in being able to read between just
a little critical thinking, media thing. Let's not believe everything we see, please.
It's part of something. It's part of why we're so adamant about, you know, double checking resources and looking into those things.
Where are their sources from?
You know, I like, you don't go on the airwaves and say, you know what, I want to break the record for most amount of time on the air before you hear that it's 7 days. Yeah, right. Dear God.
Yeah. You should always do your research before you say things like that.
Even trying to pitch this in the studio here and everything. Yeah. And Laura right away, like, nobody wants to see you for 7 days in a row. Nobody wants that. And she's absolutely right. One other thing about this, though, is the other record, we won't get into that right now.
Right.
There was another record that might be reachable.
That might be a little more reachable
than that. Might thinking about that.
I still want to see the ground rules, just to see how they did it. But anyway.
Yeah, we got to look into that one more. But I did want to take a second to touch on this, Seth, because this is a good one, and it's going on today. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation will be hosting a construction information meeting regarding a project on WIS 73 and Industrial Street to WIS 186 in Wood County. The meeting is scheduled for today at 5 o'clock over at the Wisconsin Rapid City Hall at 444 Grand Avenue. Project staff will share construction details, staging, schedule, traffic impacts, and other information. You can find out more about this by going to wisdot.net or .org. Mm-hmm. You can find out more by going to their website, wis.gov. I'm sorry, wis.gov. Yep. And certainly, you know, encourage you to attend this event.
Yeah, especially if you're interested in it or you have any concerns, and they can hopefully help you with that.
Appreciate that they're doing that.
Absolutely.
We will come back, and when we get back, only how many of us can navigate without a GPS?
Oh, boy.
We're going to get into that one coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're having a fantastic Thursday out there. Happy Friday Eve. Seth and James hanging out with you. Got some great local stuff we'll be getting into in a little bit. And, of course, we're going to kick off the 10 o'clock hour supporting local like we like to do around here with our good friends at the Southwood County Humane Society and our Pet of the Week.
Yes, indeed.
Big thank you to Milltown Coffee for that. We appreciate them sponsoring that segment. Mm-hmm. I play a little bit of Al Stewart for you, Seth, to play into this subject, to ease into it.
It's very triggering for me. It is. No, just kidding.
It turns out only half of us can navigate without turn-by-turn GPS directions.
Okay, now I don't feel so bad.
There's a new poll out, quote, navigation skills, and only 16% of people are confident they're excellent navigators without turn-by-turn GPS. 37% of people said that they'd be good, 27% said they fair in navigating, 10% admit that they'd be poor at it, and another 7% said they'd be terrible without GPS.
Seven. I'm at the part of the 7%. I'm terrible. Terrible.
GPS is most helpful when you're driving in areas so you're not familiar with.
Sure.
But even though 87% of people say they know their own community pretty well, 14% usually or always leave their GPS on anyway.
Oh, well, I don't do that.
Now, that I am a little guilty of.
Oh, really? Oh.
I wouldn't say a block or two away.
Right.
But I love finding like shorter routes. Okay. I don't know what it is. I got into driving late in life. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a little bit of it or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
But I love taking back roads, and I like taking short routes.
Yeah,
and
those are fun.
Sometimes GPS will tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it'll tell you about traffic things and stuff. But I don't really use it much outside of that. I do tend to use it like... The first time or two, I'm going somewhere. Mm. But after that, I like to kind of test myself. Mm-hmm. And I know I got the GPS there if I need it. I can pull it up on my phone if I need to. Otherwise, I kind of like to test myself and make sure that I can navigate. I'm not just like throwing this word out there. I actually have it in my blood. I'm a gypsy. This is in my blood. This is who I am. I generally like enjoy that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I also grew up, my job in the car when we travel with my papa was reading the map.
Sure.
And I'm very well map,
map literate. How about that?
Map literate is good. I like that. So I'm a big believer in everybody should be able to read a map.
Oh, 100%. Oh, man. And maybe this is because of the era we grew up. The transition area from maps, like paper maps, to GPS systems. But if you can, I mean, I would always feel better before GPS if I could study a map very closely to where I was going to be, and I would feel a lot better about it. Because that's exactly why I use GPS if it's an unfamiliar place. Mm. Because it's like, I don't know this, and I get quite anxious, actually, when I'm going into a place where I don't know where things are. I don't like that. So that's why for me, man, without GPS, I would feel I would not feel comfortable at all.
There's the old joke of the husband that doesn't want to ask for directions and the wife that wants him to and all
right,
that.
Right.
We've lost that joke thanks to GPS.
Yep,
I hope you're happy, technology.
Yes, there are going to be people who don't even know. Like, what? Ask for directions? You just pull it up on your phone, you know? Yeah.
So we're both on the same page and from the same era where mm-hmm. the map thing, and it's a good note about that. I do think that everybody should learn the map. I don't think that this is something that should be put on teachers. I think this should be put on parents or guardians or what have you.
Well, you can make it fun, too. I mean, studying maps is interesting to me.
I think there's enough on teachers' plates. and I think that something like this is something that every parent should want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like tying your shoes or something like that. To me, reading a map should be like that.
One of my grandpas, you could put a pin on it. Every time I went over to visit him, you know, at the house or later on, whatever, didn't matter when it was, just sitting there chatting, at some point the atlas would come out. Because he would be telling a story and try to remember. Of course, he was one of those guys that could, you know, remember the details and get sidetracked by that.
Oh, yeah.
He'd have to pull out the map and show me and look at the names of the city or whatever like that was it. But guarantee it, every time the atlas would come out.
Here are a few other stats from the poll. 72% of people claim that they're very poor at reading physical or digital maps. 68% would say that their sense of direction is very good. 63% say that they can usually remember a new route after having traveled it once.
Okay.
I need at least twice. I'll be honest. I need at least
twice. I would give that to Beth. She is fantastic. When she goes a route once, she knows it.
I don't know why, but that doesn't surprise me. I'm not sure what it is, but
she's got it down.
In a positive way, I mean
I'm so glad she has a direction because I don't.
You guys are getting counter there.
Yeah, that's right.
59% of us say that we, quote, enjoy reading maps.
They're fun. I enjoy reading maps. I think they're interesting. Yeah.
51% say that they, quote, don't enjoy giving directions.
Because they're hard.
Yeah.
Directions are hard. To give or to receive, for that matter. Yeah.
Some weird kind of pressure involved in
there
it,
too. There is, yeah.
Like, most of us by now, even somebody like me that got into driving late and all that, if you miss your turn, you understand in your head, in your subconscious, all that, well, there's probably another way.
There's always another way, right? Yeah.
It's not the end of the world.
Right.
It's not as if, oh, God, now we're stuck. This is where we live now.
Right.
We're here on Highway 82, and we're stuck on the side here because we took the wrong turn or something. Like, we all know we can get back around.
Sure.
It's just an inconvenience and everything. Mm-hmm. But the pressure that you feel on, oh, take a left. No, I meant a right. I meant a right. Oh, God, no. Oh, no. It's okay.
You're panicking, even though, like, you're right. I'm sure there's another road up ahead you can turn on, right? Yeah.
But we get, I guarantee it's almost happening right now, I bet.
Yeah.
Somewhere out there.
Somewhere out there.
Like, no, I meant a left. I meant the next left.
Oh, no.
Oh. Well, this is it now. This is where we live. This 45% say that they don't remember routes very well if riding as a passenger in a car.
That makes sense. Because you're more aware, unless you're, like you said, specifically, like navigating for the driver. If you're driving, it would make sense because you're more looking at the road anyway,
yeah.
You know, because you're already paying attention. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, certainly as a passenger, I would think you can pay more attention, mm-hmm. You know, you're a little busy driving, hopefully. Yeah,
that's right.
Hopefully.
Picking the song if you're, you know, getting snacks to the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
It's busy.
Don't make me come back. 28% say that they don't have a very good, quote, mental map of their environment.
That would be me. Mm, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. I think I have a pretty good one. My problem is I can't draw. So, like, trying to draw it out, that would be impossible.
Right.
Like, nobody would be able to figure it out.
Exactly.
I made the joke for years. I can't even draw a stick figure. I don't think people understand how bad I am at drawing.
The visual arts is not your thing.
I could draw something, and a five-year-old could draw something, and everybody will be shocked. Shocked.
Well, that's better, James, than yours. Wow.
Yeah. It's just not my thing. Not my thing. When it comes to, like, directions and giving directions, have you been in those situations where you're, because this happens a lot in the city, I'm just not sure where you're from, and out here and you know, in the middle of central Wisconsin and everything, how often happens? I don't know if it's even happened to me much, maybe once or twice here in Wisconsin, in Rapids, but it used to happen all the time in the city.
Right.
Hey, how do I get to such and such? Mm-hmm. Or I'm trying to get here, and they show you the cutout or the, you know, the printout of something or whatever. For me, I loved that stuff when I was a kid. I don't know why. There was something about it I really liked. I liked being able to do that and everything. But I was, and this is not going to shock one person, I would give too much information.
Overload.
Way too much information to the point where by the time they were walking away, like, wait a minute, did he say a left or a right?
Yeah, right.
And by that time, I'm gone. I'm gone. Yes.
Oh,
I don't
man.
Think I was very good at it, but I liked doing it.
But you enjoyed it. You enjoyed doing it. No, I've never had a much, once or twice, I think in my life, I can remember giving directions for something like that. And I'm sure they were wrong.
Is it harder to give directions in a rural area than in the city? Because I think that it's easier in the city.
Well, I think it is because I think you have more landmarks and the distances are longer when you're out in a rural area.
Yeah.
Because you have to go a couple miles down, you know, and then you get to this road and then take a left and then go that way on this road for another 2 miles, you know, kind of thing. So, yeah.
Huh. Everybody out there, we'd like to hear from you on this one. How often do you use GPS? Do you use it a lot, a little? What do you do with it?
You know, one of the fun things about, you know, so my family's lived in Rapids now for 6.5 years, and still I turn down streets and I'm like, I don't think I've ever been on this street before, which is always fun, you know, especially where you live. It's like kind of, it may be silly, but it's like a little adventure. Like, I'm seeing new things in town that I've never seen before.
I love it. It doesn't happen to me that often here in Rapids anymore, but it happens all the time, like just even in Point.
Yeah, go see Stevens Point. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I've been up and down all over Point, and yet that happens sometimes where it's I think especially if you're if you end up going places down back roads or something like that, and that you're not normally doing.
Exactly.
I mentioned I wanted to talk about the zoo a little bit. Our Wisconsin Rapids Municipal Zoo is open for the season, everybody. Just a stone's throw away from where we are at 1911 Gaynor Avenue. Head on over there, check things out. They're open Tuesday through Sunday, 10 to 7. They're closed on Mondays. And they have some new animals over there and some new fun. Want you to check out.
Right. And it's free. It's all free.
It's free. The only thing I ask, and not them, I ask, is that you thank the workers there and the animals and everything. And on Thursday, June 19th, 10:30 to 4:30, forest whales. Forest whales, people.
Which is fantastic, man.
Join them for an unforgettable open house style ocean exploration experience. Step inside an incredible 65-foot life-size inflatable whale and journey into the world of these gentle giants like never before.
Wow.
I got to do this.
It's like being swallowed by a whale. How interesting is that?
I cannot wait to do this. I only hope there's not an age limit.
Your Pinocchio dreams. No,
I love whales. I like whales. And I can't wait to do
that.
Awesome. Never heard of anything like this.
No, that's really cool. Interesting. Yeah.
You'll also get hands-on with amazing bone replicates like a humpback vertebrae, an orca skull, a megalodon tooth.
Wow.
Ooh, and a narwhal tusk. Oh, I wonder what that feels like.
A tusk.
Huh.
I know they're called a tusk, even though it looks like a horn, but mm-hmm. it is a tusk.
The megalodon tooth.
Like, yes, if you old school. We're talking dinosaur.
Man, if you don't know what a megalodon is, yeah. look that up. And then just take a breath before you do.
Yes, they were crazy huge.
Amazing.
Yes. Yep.
Find out more about our zoo. Follow them on social media and head on over there, everybody. Take in, you know, when's the last time been to the zoo?
It is a great, it's one of those little things about Rapids that is so cool. The fact that we have a zoo, it's a smaller zoo, but it's free and they bring in some great stuff for everyone to see. Take advantage, everyone.
Yeah, we really appreciate all the work and all the effort mm-hmm. the city and everybody puts into that.
Yeah.
And, of course, we got Bluegrass at the Lake kicking off today, everybody.
Today, tonight. The first act tonight, yes.
They got a bunch of great raffles and merchandise going on. Their 50-50 drawing. They're going to have a touch of truck down there on Saturday. St. John's Pie Ladies will be down there as well. Woo. And, of course, the music. The music kicks off 6:30 tonight, southbound with A Taste of Bluegrass by the Silas Powell Band.
Very cool.
Art Stevenson, who joined us here on the airwaves a little while ago, will be performing on Friday. Mm-hmm. We're so excited about all these bands and all this music. Mm-hmm. And for this great event to be kicking off the 9th annual Bluegrass at the Lake, encourage you to go to bluegrassatthelake.com, find out more information.
Lots of good information there.
And how'd you like to go for free?
I think that would be amazing if we could have someone go for free.
Not you, Seth. Oh. No. You guys call up 715-424-2600 or just dial us through the Civic Media app.
Yeah.
Hit us up. Let us know one of your favorite things about Bluegrass at the Lake or something you're looking forward to about Bluegrass.
If you've never been there, yeah.
We'd love to
call her yesterday about that. That was really cool. Yeah.
It was fun. And no matter what, make sure to attend this one. Spread the word about this event. It's a great event for a great, good time for a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
Go to bluegrassatthelake.com. We'll be back with more show.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming.